the Day Zero Update for April 23rd, 2017. I'm Blue Blood Info.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
I'm Brandon Berkins.
I'm Chris Elogi.
And I'm Lee Lamb.
Of course, this week, the big news was Call of Duty is going back to World War II.
Because we got a double-year World War I game.
Yeah, because it started
I'm
there.
Curious to see what they'll do, to be honest, now with the graphic power they got.
Yeah,
I love World War II stuff. I'm a World War II nerd. But it's also Call of Duty.
Yeah.
Didn't they leave World War II because they tapped that well dry?
Pretty much.
Yeah, but they tapped that well dry like back in the 360 days. So I'm curious to see what they can do now. I mean, I don't know if you guys ever remember any of the I think it was Call of Duty 2 where they did the Normandy Beach landing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which is still great, like, today.
Yeah.
So if they could do something like that now with modern tech, I'd love to see it.
Well, yeah. Call of Duty 2 was just all around a genuinely well-made game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to remember, though, that right around that time, Call of Duty, obviously Call of Duty 4 is where Modern Warfare started.
Yeah.
One of the reasons that game was such a big deal was because that game came out after a absolute glut of World War II shooters.
Yeah,
that had
a lot of copycat games that had come out at that.
Yeah, I mean,
after 2 did.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, 7th Gen was largely the World War II generation of consoles.
Pretty much, yeah.
All I got to say is I'm glad we get to shoot Nazis again.
Yeah, it's about time we got back.
Feels awful thematically considering proper. What's going on, yeah.
So shoot some Nazis in the face, because...
Listen to a Sledgehammer Games... Remember Sledgehammer Games, remind people why we shot Nazis back then.
Yeah. So, yeah, it might be a good thing. All I gotta say is Infinite Warfare would have been a much better game if the name Call of Duty hadn't been attached to it.
Yeah.
Probably. Mm-hmm.
No, it's actually a genuinely good game. It's just now got the Call of Duty stigma attached to it. So,
I wonder how that's going to be affecting a lot of that stuff going forward, because there's so much in a name, right? But then
right.
at the same time, the name can also be sort of a handicap, because that name carries expectations with it.
Yeah,
and it's funny. Like I think. Titanfall 2 probably would have done a shit ton better if it had the Call of Duty name on it, which is a shame. Actually, it turns out it did pretty well, but Titanfall 2 is fucking fantastic.
Yes, it
is. But, with the way that it kind of got shoehorned in with every other shooter, you wouldn't really know it.
Yeah. EA mistimed that one badly. When they dropped it basically a week before Battlefield 1. So,
I mean,
had that
just
going
overlapping their own shit. Like, what the?
So, but yeah, this is not the Call of Duty show. This is the Day's Zero.
Yeah. What did y'all think?
What went wrong here? Something has gone very wrong.
Everybody was like, Lee shouldn't have come back. This is terrible.
Yeah,
this isn't even on the outline.
No.
Right.
Not like we planned this either.
Add that to the first bullet point. Call of Duty, what?
Yeah. But yeah, so we have been playing some stuff, and I'll start us off. I've been playing the Guardians of the Galaxy Telltale series. Got through the first episode because that's the only one I've got. It's good. It's real good. Cool. Yeah. For a tree, for a giant tree, Groot is very much a lightweight when it comes to alcohol. I'll just throw that out there.
Is that even okay?
That's fantastic. Is it? So wait, now the real question is, do you drink with regular Groot or baby Groot? Because if it's with baby Groot, you're a monster.
No, it's regular Groot.
Okay.
Yeah, the game's set between the two movies.
Dude, I can't wait for that movie.
Yeah, well, technically, it's like beer before the end of the first one because Groot is still big. So,
Groot.
But it was fun. It was like. There's a whole discussion going on between Peter and Gamora in the background. You hear, "I am Groot." Up in the back, he's in the toilet throwing up.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it's good. I really really enjoyed my time with that one. I'm going to be writing up the review for that in after the show. I don't want to be typing it while I'm doing the show because you won't hear anything else. So. Yeah, Guardians of the Galaxy Telltale, they're off to a really good start on this one. There's nothing revolutionary here. It's just a really, really solid, adventure game. So,
I think the Telltale stuff really excels when you like whatever the property is that they're doing. And particularly something like Guardians of the Galaxy 2 especially is really kind of a talky style movie. Like the dialogue matters a lot because the characters are – who would ever thought that people would know who Rocket Raccoon is now, right? But
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's still just crazy like how ubiquitous they become just because of Marvel. So I think the Telltale stuff works when you're really vested in the property, and if you're actually playing somebody you care about. Like I played the Game of Thrones once and I didn't like them because you're like, you know, house dumb fuck
that yeah.
no one's ever heard of. You know, that's not fun.
No. This one here you're playing as Peter, so you know, you got all the snide stuff that he can do, and you could play it as a jerk. You can try to be, you know, try to keep all everybody else happy. There's a lot of balancing that you have to do in that game, and there's a lot of good development between Gamora, Peter, even Drax. His character has expanded out a little bit more. So, yeah,
I still can't believe that's a wrestler.
Yeah.
Like I've seen this Dave Bautista, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Like I've seen Dave Bautista and other shit, and it doesn't compute that's Drax. I have no idea.
Because they wrote it directly for somebody of a wrestler's acting ability.
Mm-hmm. But you know what? Like I actually read something not too long ago that I thought was really interesting. Is that apparently autistic people identify with Drax because he can't sense sarcasm or anything else like that.
That's right.
He's a relatively positive portrayal of somebody that has that I'm not even sure what to label it, but
on the spectrum.
Yeah, that's someone that's on the spectrum. So like I've seen a lot of people react really positively just based on that because of the way he plays that character, which I thought was a nice little bonus, I guess, because he's not like that in the comics at all.
No.
He's like a murder machine. He's like hysterical.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, the only drawback I find is that they don't have the original voice cast, but the people that they do have are very, very close. So, yeah, it doesn't really detract from, from the atmosphere too much. So they did a good job. So, yeah, that's me. How about you, Pat?
Been playing my usuals just as part of my regular gaming practice. Couple games I picked up this week were Wonder Boy the Dragon's Trap, which is it's not actually a new game in the series. It's a full-on remake of Wonder Boy 3.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the retro buttons work as well as they do, and the old passwords work and everything. I'm not complaining. It's great being able to sit down and just play this classic that I haven't been near in ages on the Switch. And it's probably a perfect fit for this game. But I might as well have written down in the show notes that I'm playing Wonder Boy 3 because I'm doing all the retro stuff. I'm really not feeling the new graphics and everything. But it's a fantastic game, just like it's always been.
I heard it's hard as balls still.
It is. But, you know, that's fun too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also picked up Cosmic Star Heroine that I'll be starting out sometime this week. Looking real forward to that one.
Yeah, I got that one too. I'm not sure when I'm going to play it. I think I might wait till the Vita port comes out. I've been following. Have you seen the thread on it for NeoGAF? Like Robert Boyd he's having a rough time, man.
Really?
Yeah, because I think the game is not sold the way that they expected it to. You know, they've discovered a lot of bugs and like he's really active on that thread, the official thread for Cosmic Star Heroine, and he's really active on it. And like, I don't know, I got the impression that the game kind of got unwieldy for them, as like he even said at one point, like, we would have scaled this back if I had known it was going to go on like this. But I mean, the general consensus seems to be that everybody really likes it, particularly the battle system. But it's got a couple of just strange glitches that, you know, I don't think you really get to – I mean, they're an indie developer, you know?
Yeah.
So
– yeah, it's just two people working on that game.
Yeah. I reached out to him. I haven't gotten a response yet, but I'm going to see if we can try and get him on the show.
Oh, that would be an interesting episode.
Yeah, because, I mean, he's designing the kind of games that we always espouse as loving. And, you know, I'd love to get his perspective on it. But I figure – I mean, I'm figuring I probably won't even hear from him for probably a couple of weeks simply because they're in that, like, patch mode right now because they're trying to damage fix a control. Bunch of stuff. Well, not even damage control. I just think, like, it's weird. Like, so – the response, and obviously maybe it's because the hype level is different, but like, remember, you guys remember the response for No Man's Sky and what happened there. And I mean, they would have crucified those guys in the fucking streets. Yeah. But Robert seems to have gotten a lot of leeway. I think it's just because he wasn't overselling what the fuck they were selling, you know? Mm-hmm. But you know, there was a comment that he made where he's like, you know, I was barreling towards the end of this. And it was like, okay, you know, we're going to get to the point like where this is going to sell. Sony's giving us a push, blah, 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 blah. And I don't think it's sold to their expectations. And like part of it, he said he blamed for himself because like they got review copies out to people late just because they were busy trying to fix everything. And like he lamented, you know, how difficult it is to get things patched with Sony, whereas like they were patching Steam within like an hour. Like if somebody told them about something, they could fix it, roll out a patch within an hour. But with Sony, it takes, you know, it can take a up to a week, which, you know, that's not the first time we've heard that. Right. But it's so interesting to think about it. And when you look at it through that indie scope, right. Or through that indie lens, you know, these guys, their game could live or die on whether or not it has positive buzz from people about whether or not they're able to fix some of these problems that are out there.
Well, fortunately, right now on Steam, it's got a 9 out of 10.
Yeah. So. Yeah. So I mean, I hope that it ends up having a long tail. Like I know for me, I probably won't play it on the PlayStation 4. I will probably wait for the Vita, just because if I'm going to sit down and play something, I'm probably going to play something a little bit bigger. But the handhelds work, especially for anything where it's, you know, pick up and play for a while and feel like I can move forward. But, like, I'm on an Overwatch kick now, so I'm like, oh, free time? Let me go shoot somebody.
Yeah. Yeah. So how about you, Brandon?
Still playing Persona 5. Remember how I said last time that I thought I was sort of on the...
At the end?
On the towards the end. Yeah, I forgot that... So the game's timeline, it goes well until, like, I think February.
Yeah.
And I'm still in summer.
Oh.
Yeah.
Like I'm in.
Yeah, you still got a ways to go.
Yeah. Yeah, so. Actually, no, wait, I think it was. Actually, it's October, so I'm actually in the fall. Hmm. But still got a couple months.
Nowhere near the end, though.
No.
Nope. Hmm. And that's even if I manage to get the true ending.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so I'm playing that. Also playing Steins Gate. Still going through that one. That's the famous visual novel from 5PB. It's in Nitro Plus, of course. And I really love that whole sort of – okay, so Steins Gate is part of what's called the Science Adventure series. And it's a – basically, it's a group of games that are basically, well, they're like what I like to call sort of fake hard science fiction, and then that they take real, like, hard scientific concepts and then stretch them out to a point to almost lunacy, like concepts like time travel or quantum mechanics, reality manipulation, that type of thing. And basically the whole, and it's also known for just having just always having just a weird group of people that star in these things. Like the guy that you play in Steins Gate is a guy who fancies himself a mad scientist, but he's basically just a poor dude making minimum wage doing weird shit with his microwave.
Yeah.
And somehow, by strapping a cell phone to it, he accidentally invents time travel.
Okay.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
So yeah, I also played Chaos Head, which was the first game in that series, and that one's equally as weird. That one you basically play a what basically a hikikomori or an otaku dude who basically lives in like a storage unit on top of his dad's apartment building that his dad owns, so he gets more or less gets free rent.
Isn't Ho Ing Choma kind of a hikikomori in his own right?
Yeah. Kinda. Well, I guess he'd be more of like a neat.
Yeah.
He
falls into that category.
Mm-hmm. And the thing with Chaos Head was that at some point in the game, the guy you play suddenly starts developing these weird, what do you call them, delusions, like hallucinations. And what happens is that whenever there's a point in the game where you'll come across a certain scene, and then all of a sudden you can pick whether you want to have a good delusion or a bad delusion. And it's made by these two little areas, basically like lifelines on like a cardiac machine. You know, beep,
yeah.
Beep,
yeah.
Those things. And if you pick a good one, it'll be either you'll get something funny or, well, sexy, mm-hmm. and it can be pretty odd. Or if you can get a bad delusion, in which case, well, this is Nitro Plus we're talking about, so.
Yeah, so it will be.
Sounds like my life.
Yeah. There will be lots of blood and gore. Hmm. Horrible things happening. Okay. And I'm also playing Night in the Woods. I still haven't finished that one yet. Hmm. Still a lot of fun and still weirdly something I can relate to. Because if you've ever lived in a sort of small town that seems to be kind of going through a downturn.
Yeah.
Of course, Night in the Woods takes place in the Midwest, but whatever.
Yeah,
close. But that's what I've been playing. So what about you, Chris?
Well, probably the most interesting things I've been playing are ND8.
Yeah.
Some nice betas for Nex Machina, which is the new Housemarque game that's coming out later this year. Which is basically, if you like Resogun, they basically applied that to Robotron.
Yep.
Can't say any more about it, but definitely looking forward to that. The other one is, what's the rare game with the pirate stuff?
Sea of Thieves.
Sea of Pirates.
Yeah, Sea of Thieves.
Sea of Balls. Wait, no.
Yeah, I've also been playing that. And I don't know.
It's a thing.
Yeah, it's a thing. You're kind of a pirate, I guess. And it's an alpha-ass alpha.
Yeah.
There's not much to it right now, so looking forward to seeing how it evolves. But for the moment, you're a pirate. As for games I can really talk about, I've been playing a bunch of Destiny this week, and I was playing a new character, a Titan, which isn't really all that different from the Warlock that is my main. The main difference is like a different special and some minor differences in abilities. Just kind of seeing what the early stuff was like as I kind of fucked around the first year, came into really playing a bunch of that with the Taken King. And when that happened, it just basically unlocked all of the missions and such that are on the maps. So it's like I completely lost the thread of where the story was. Yeah. On the maps, which is not great, but when you start with a fresh character, it only unlocks things one at a time, so it makes it much easier to follow whatever story, though I'm skipping most of the story anyway.
Yeah. I wouldn't have pegged you as a Destiny player.
Oh, it's the sort of thing I really like. Very much in the Diablo-style RPG.
Ah, okay, right.
A really great first-person shooter.
Yeah, Destiny was one of those things I stayed away from because I was like, I got enough habits.
Yeah. Yeah. Even early on, as I'm basically struggling to get items that I can actually upgrade, as I have a lot of like white items, it's like as soon as I can get something new, I can just delete this, because the big kind of hook for those games is you get something that you can level up. You just do missions with them, and it fills up the bars. You can upgrade the gun slightly, and then when it's full, you probably get something better, and you delete it, and you get materials out of it more than you would if you just did it outright. And then you use those materials to upgrade other things, and then you can sacrifice those to other things, and then eventually you get the kind of weapons you can directly feed them into them. And it gets that whole stupid loop of just grinding and grinding endlessly. And so far that's been fun, and especially doing it because of there are specific item missions tied to the Titan and the for each of the classes for the year-end sort of End of Destiny book that they're having you do stuff in. So it's like, oh, just get 250 melee kills. It's like I can do that. It's all pretty much easy stuff. I just have to kind of replay the whole game. Especially playing through it on a lower power level. Because I mentioned playing through the rest of the original Destiny campaign with my level 40 main. And getting a weapon that's one-third the power of the ones I'm actually using. That's like the story gun they give you at the end. Like a level 110 light level. And mine are 350, 360, something like that. It's like completely useless, but now stuff it's dropping is actually level appropriate. So there's some use for it, but being stuck with items that I can't upgrade kind of sucks.
Yeah, so I couldn't do Destiny because it was like, oh, I don't want to stumble through Bungie figuring out how to make an MMO. Especially now with, like, how do you feel about Destiny 2? Like, I mean, because isn't, correct me if I'm wrong, isn't pretty much, there's nothing from the original game that's carrying over, right?
Depends on your level does, what you're expecting. I think you're going to be able to transfer your characters over, but they're not going to have their gear or their levels. I think they'll probably say, okay, you got the level 40, you did, like, the stuff in the book. You did enough of this, we'll give you, you know, this special gun, this special skin, or this sort of stuff as, like, bonuses. I think that's essentially what they're going to do, because they don't want to carry all the baggage of the original Destiny with it into Destiny 2.
So are they going to turn Destiny off?
I don't think so. I think they're going to keep it going for as long as there are people playing it, and there's a ton of people playing it right now. Especially when they give out these new books. Essentially, like, here's a checklist of all the stuff you can do. Go play the raids over and over again. Go play the strikes over and over again. Do all the missions, all this stuff. Here's a ton of crap you can do if you invest a ton of time into it.
Yeah, because I hope they don't make the mistake, and anybody that's done anything competitively, Pat and I can talk about this for ages. Just because you bring out something new doesn't mean everybody's going to go to it.
But I think a lot of the people that go into Destiny that have stuck with it completely understand the whole notion that they kind of fucked up a lot of this stuff, especially their own engine, so that the notion of trying to create a live game with new events and such was just a huge piece of work for them. It would take like hours just to make changes and re-render the levels to put it up on their servers. Like, that's not how you should design a game.
2 will be the first one that casts off like the Xbox 360 and everything too, right?
They technically did it with the Rise of Iron expansion. That was the, I think it was the first bit of Destiny stuff that PS3 and Xbox 360 don't get. And sort of at the same time with Destiny 2, they're also going to PC as well to get that whole audience addicted to their shit.
I didn't need to hear that.
So that's they get that whole thing going as well. So Destiny 2 should be really interesting. And hopefully the first gameplay reveal they have in a couple of weeks should be exciting to watch. In the same vein of playing old games that still keep being relevant, Diablo 3 has also been a big thing I've been playing. So I have it on all three platforms. I've not played on PC as much as I probably should, but I just completed a set because it's like, I might as well. They keep putting this expansion on sale for $10. I might as well buy it. Complete the set. Mainly been playing on Xbox One and PS4. Xbox One, sort of just on my first character there. And still in the first, I'm on the hardest difficulty I can play, which I think is, I forget, it's above hard. It's like the third difficulty.
It's not Nightmare. You can't do Nightmare initially, I don't think.
No. But essentially,
they brought Seasons in, right? Are you doing those?
Yeah, not yet. I got Seasons on my PS4 version, but Xbox One, I was like, I'm just going to start playing it and open up the adventure mode and all that. But yeah, I'm still in the first act. I'm level 35.
Is cheating still off the chain?
I don't know. I don't do any of that stuff.
You don't roll with those people, Chris? Come on now.
Yeah. No, I
come on, Chris.
Else. I tell him to go fuck off.
I heard some of that shit was off the chain.
Yeah, that's a weird thing I've heard from people, that it's like, don't play with the public because they'll come in and fuck up your game. Even if it's stuff from the last gen, because they allow you to transfer your save, so all that broken stuff can affect even the newer gen stuff. But yeah,
Phil, doesn't that remind you of Diablo 2?
Oh, yeah.
Like, in a nutshell?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, it's weird that it happens on consoles.
You'd think it happened more on the PC, but no, they have the PC version locked down a lot more.
Yeah, and servers, man. The one thing that everybody threw a fit about.
Yeah, so I'm level 35 with my, I forget which one I picked on. That I think it's a Wizard? I forget which one I have on my Xbox One. Yeah. I just hit the A button, kill people. That's kind of the extent of that game right now. But also been doing Season stuff on PS4, which is... No, that's the Wizard. I forget what my Xbox One is. I don't know. Yeah. but my PS4 Season character is also in the first act, but you can't go more than hard, the second difficulty.
No.
Which I found a bit weird. But I've actually also been dying because I forget that I'm a wizard and not a tank.
Yeah.
Because my main on that was a crusader. So I get
trapped. You're a wizard, Chris. Groups.
I get trapped in groups, can't get out because they've surrounded me. And I die because I can't use my 50 health potions as much as I'd like to. But yeah, that's still a lot of fun. Ended up in a weird scenario where I was trying to get a teleport out of there because I was full my inventory and almost couldn't find one. Was essentially just dropping all my non-colored items just so I could pick up anything better that I found.
Racist?
Yes. Death to the white items. I sacrificed them all to my blacksmith. I sacrificed all the whites.
See?
Blacks.
Told you.
yeah, that's still a great game. And yeah, it's been kind of it. Playing stuff I can't talk about. Old shit. All
right.
So how about you, Lee?
I have been Overwatch. A lot of Overwatch.
Yeah.
Typical Legion shit. They introduced... God, Blizzard fucked this up so bad. They introduced this patch, right? It's supposed to be the biggest patch ever. I think we were done with that in like 4 days.
The biggest patch ever. Not so much.
Well, so the biggest problem with Legion... Legion actually in and of itself has been a fantastic expansion, but a big part of the problem they've been having is they retooled the shit out of the classes. And I don't know... So, I don't know how deep you guys go in, like, the developer hole. Man, that sounds terrible. But keeping up with, like, you know, like, higher-profile developers and stuff like that, like, for a long time, WoW was under Jeff Kaplan. Tiggle. He's the guy that runs Overwatch now. And previously, a lot of stuff was done under, I think, a guy who unfairly got criticized a lot. His I can't remember what his real name is, but he went by Ghostcrawler in the forums. And then Tom Chilton has recently moved on to do another unnamed game for Blizzard. So they left the expansion up to a guy named Ian Hazzikostas. And you know what's weird? Ian Hazzikostas designed like the raids for the last two expansions, and his raid design is fantastic. Like the raids, as shitty as Warlords of Draenor was, the raids were fun as fuck. But they put this guy in charge, and what's interesting to me is WoW has a horrible tightrope to walk in that it needs to be something to everyone that plays it, and everyone plays it very differently. And the biggest problem that happened last expansion was the only way you were doing shit was if you were raiding. You couldn't do anything else. So they went out of their way to try and fix that this expansion, but in typical Blizzard fashion, they overdid it by like 2-3 steps. And so like this new patch they put out, again, they've been hyping this for months. Like this is the biggest patch ever. But really what it did is it released like a half-assed area that the only reason you go to that area for is to grind the rep you need to get flying. And then once you're done, you've gotten flying, you're back in the same loop that you've been doing. The patch is 7.2, so you're back in the same loop that you've been in since 7.0, which is like the last 8 months. So what they've done is they added a bunch more stuff, but they're time-gating it. So something new happens each week, and really all that does is make people jump in for like 20 minutes. And I think a lot of it is because of this designer. Like I don't know – I feel for developers that have to talk to their fans, especially in games like WoW or Destiny or anything else like that that are – very much time sinks. But I swear to God, this guy's out to fucking lunch. Like, he is only interested in the way that he plays the game. And so it's almost like this idea that if anybody else does that, they're wrong. And, like, you could see that in the way that they just chop the shit out of the classes. Like, they prune the fuck out of them. Like, I main a Death Knight. And really, up until the last expansion, the Death Knight had an extremely high skill cap. And I like that because frankly, not to brag, I was really fucking good. And so the difference between me and a normal tank was readily apparent when you put me next to him. That's completely gone. And most of it's like pretty brain dead. And everyone kept yelling at them, like, you've got to put some of the shit back. Like some of the abilities that we had, like all the stuff that you've taken away, it's just not even fun. Like you took all the cool shit away. And so they finally have started adding some of that back. So a little more of the complexity is coming. But, you know, you're doing that at the point where the expansion's been out at least 6-7 months. And so people like me are like, this is boring. They go, thank you. You gave me back what I wanted 6 months ago. Eat a dick. So we're waiting around for the new raid to kind of see what they open up with. And, like, what they're doing with the story is super interesting. But, like, sort of, like, putting out the pieces of it piecemeal is sort of anathema, I think, to keeping people engaged, particularly if you have them engaged in, like, rep grinding. That's not fun in the first place. No. It's interesting because I feel like, especially going back and playing, like, Heroes of the Storm and then playing, like, stuff like Overwatch, you know, you particularly in Overwatch, you can see sort of, like, the fingerprints of the way that Blizzard used to develop WoW in Overwatch. Like, and just reading some of the design documents and behind-the-scenes stuff that I've looked into with Overwatch – they very much took an old Blizzard approach with that game. Like, what is cool? Okay, now that we figured out this cool thing, how can we make this fit in the game? And then we can adjust it. Whereas, like, particularly in WoW, it seems like they design their scenarios and everything else like that, and they go, now we have to fit the classes into this, as opposed to the other way around. So a lot of the creativity and the fun that you could have with the game, and like to someone like Pat, I know you play Final Fantasy, but imagine, like, look at what they're doing with Street Fighter V. Like, they just keep nerfing the shit out of the characters instead of bringing everybody up. That sort of same design philosophy has been added to WoW, and it's really starting to get frustrating.
They've gotten over it, though, if you've seen the new notes for the patch that's coming out. Not at the end of the month now, but soon.
Yeah, and I wish that the Blizzard devs were like that, too, because they sort of have – it's really weird. Like, you know, I work for a software developer. So I get that, you know, sometimes the designers just don't understand what the end user, like, where they're coming from is. But then there are also times where you want to smack those people because you're like – you're creating something that you are selling to someone. So what they want or what they perceive the faults might be are really fucking important. And, you know, because you are selling this, and it, they just, it just feels like they've totally lost that. At least on the WoW team, which is really frustrating. But, you know, I keep playing it because it's something I can play with my wife. My kid likes it. And I have so much time invested, you know. And I got a group of people that I like playing with. But it's just one of those things. So, actually, in between raids, it's funny. When I'm waiting in between pulls and playing Dragon Quest, I'm grinding out mobs and moving slowly through the story again. I forgot how heart-wrenching that game is. Hmm. Like, it's very much a you're not Mr. Save the World. You're just a fucking guy.
Yeah.
And that's such a, especially, I think with everything nowadays, whether it's movies or books or games, like everything is all about like the biggest, craziest in-world scenario you can think of. And you're like, look, man, I'm just trying to make it through the world, doing my thing. You know, that's really refreshing. So that's what I've been doing. And then, you know, trying to sleep, which is difficult in a house with three fucking dogs.
Yeah.
By the way, Lee, I'm not sure if you've been listening the last few weeks you've been gone. I just want to point out, if WoW is sort of on the schneid right now, Final Fantasy XIV is free to level 35.
Yeah, I read about that, and I heard about it. I heard about you guys talking about it on the podcast. I have it installed. That's one of those things where if I pick up another MMO, I have to do it with my wife. Like, that's one of the big things that we do together. Because we're so busy, that's kind of the thing. Yeah. But it's one of those things. I have it installed, too, and I'm like, you know – I get bored, you know, we'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah. The one issue with that thing is that if you have a lapsed account, you don't have access to that.
No.
It's only for the trial.
Yeah. Oh, that's lame as shit. Yeah.
So I had to basically do it on my alternate account.
Yep.
Create a new Square Enix account just to be able to check that out.
Yeah. Well, I got enough fucking email addresses, so.
That's not hard.
I think I can work that out.
Well, I didn't even think you had a lapsed account.
Yeah. Yeah, I got it. I got it back when it came out, because a friend of mine was super hardcore into the relaunch, and then I just couldn't. It just, it's saying I can't. Again, my wife has to be playing stuff with me, and if she's not playing, then I'm not doing it.
Yeah. All right. So let's move on to we got some Blizzard updates. We touched on this earlier in the show. Here's the Storm 2.0 coming out on Tuesday, and along with that, they're giving away 20 heroes for newcomers and for people who have been hanging around a while, a crap ton of gems.
Yeah, I think you get 100 gems, and then you can spend that on one of four bundles.
Yeah,
yeah, that's exactly how it works. You get 100 gems, and then if you don't like – if you're not interested in any of the packs that they're giving out, you just get the 100 gems. If you buy the pack, then the other ones disappear.
Hmm. Yeah. Oh, that's
cool. I think all you have to do is just log in between the 25th and May 22nd.
Hmm.
They got a little Q&A on here. It's like, what word best describes your playstyle?
Hmm.
And all these others, and tells you, oh, you should go get the Flex bundle that includes a variety of role types.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope they're successful. I think Heroes of the Storm is fun as shit. Like, I play that with my kid, it's. I think the biggest problem I had with it is that the curve for leveling and everything else like that was just obnoxious. And they look like they're the biggest thing that I see is that they're evening that out, which I think is tremendous. Yeah. Because it's really terrible to have played like your 40th game and you still haven't leveled. Like, Jesus.
Yeah, it kind of gets, you know, a little repetitive and maybe right. Start to question whether you want to continue playing that game or not, you know?
Right, and you know, because a huge chunk of it is, like, as far as progress is somewhat tied up in skins as well as levels, you know? So, like, if you want to get to level 10 and get your master skin and stuff like that, like, grinding a character out to level 10 is long. Yeah. Especially if you don't have a stim pack on, which, you know, which doubles your gold and your XP. Hmm. Like, I got to level 10, I think, on Arthas, because I really like playing tank classes, with a 30-day stim pack on from some bonus they were doing or something like that. If I had to have grinded that normally, I'd have killed myself.
Yeah.
I mean, it was bad.
Yeah.
So I'm glad they're changing that.
Yeah, it's going to be looks like it's going to be pretty cool. Also, what have we got? Oh, yeah, we talked about StarCraft going free a little while back. That's now happened.
1.18 patch is released, and you can go get it. And now you can play StarCraft for free.
I was surprised it's not built into the Blizzard app.
I know. I was surprised by that too. I think they're going to do it with the oh god, what do you call it? The remasters. Yeah. I was thinking the same thing though. I was like, that's really interesting. Why did you do that, Blizzard? But I mean, fuck, it's StarCraft. It's free. Like, it's, as far as like my early like teens to like my very beginning of my 20s, I could think of like three huge games. It would be Street Fighter, StarCraft, and then PSO, which we all played back in the
that was
on the Dreamcast. Like, those were the ones. Like, those are the games, like, from, like –
those were the fucking days.
Exactly. And so just getting StarCraft remastered again is like, oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
And one of the even cool if I probably won't play it that much.
Yeah. Yeah, one of the cool things they're doing with the remaster is you'll be able to play the remaster against people who don't have the remaster.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Which is just goes to show they're just putting a coat of paint on it and keeping the engine the same. So, that's a pretty cool thing.
I think it's great. Yeah. StarCraft, to Brood War, to this day, is still one of the most purely just absolutely incredible games I've ever played. Hmm. And it's one of those that lends itself to however you want to play, you can.
Mm-hmm.
It's just fantastic. I'm happy to hear that they're remaking it.
Yeah. So that's pretty awesome. And what else have we got? Oh, yeah, Street Fighter V news. Third season 2 character, and they're kind of, as Pat said earlier, the release date for the patch has kind of been pushed back a little bit, but yeah. Annoying.
Well,
they want to take their time and do it right, which is what the community's been telling them to do pretty much from the beginning.
Yeah.
So, they are doing a second beta of the revamped CFN on PC. That'll be free.
Yep.
All characters, including the third season 2 character, will be playable for that.
You know, we should probably mention who that third character is.
No, we don't know.
We don't know yet.
Nope.
We can speculate. We don't know.
I'm guessing it'll be revealed like the day before the test or something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, they want to wait until this is ready before they release it to the world. It's kind of a shame that it's holding the season 2 changes back because, that patch is really going to mark the end of their nerf their way out of trouble mentality. So. Yeah. But you know, if this is going to be the new, if this is going to be their new way of going about things, then I can't fault them for that.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. As long as when it does come out, it actually turns out to be what we actually wanted instead of, losing invincibility on wake up SRKs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No reason whatsoever.
Yeah. They touched on that in the notes.
Yeah. So, anyways, yeah, so Street Fighter V is progressing well. I have a feeling the approach that SNK has taken to King of Fighters 14 probably has had a little bit to do with that.
Oh yeah,
it's
always good to have competition showing another way, man.
Yeah, so,
you know.
Yeah, so it's good
stuff. Lee, you played that yet?
I have dabbled with it, and it's just I went to, I was at Fun Around this year briefly. I don't have a lot of time to do the competitive stuff because of work. And there's something inherently bothersome to me about doing anything with netcode. Like, if I play with friends, that's one thing. But I have never been more enraged in my life than playing a fighting game online. That has really never changed. Mm. Just because I know I am so much better than I'm playing on. I mean, I fucking place nationally in fucking tournaments. I've gotten top 64 at Evos. Like,
yeah.
So then losing to some, scrubtastic 420 or whatever online, just I can't do it.
There is something inherently bothersome about that.
Yeah.
Because it feels like a different animal in and of itself. Like, yeah, you're still playing Street Fighter, but it's not really Street Fighter, not to me.
What I was asking about was if you played King of Fighters 14.
Yeah, no, I know. And no, I have. I've played it a little bit. I screwed around with it. At Final Round, and then I have a friend of mine has a copy of it, and I've toyed with it a little bit. And it's nice. It's nice. I love the stuff. I love the fact that they revealed Rock and everything else like that. But I don't know, man. Lately, man, you know what it is, Pat? I don't really like the fighting game community anymore. I know it sounds bad.
No, I can understand that.
I like all of the people that I played with. And it's not even I think somebody might probably label it as, it's just, you're old or whatever the fuck. Like, we watched old folks in the fighting – old folks. I'm fucking 36. But we watched older folks in the fighting game community, that are still, kicking. But there's something about the fighting game community now that reminds me of the Disney Channel. Like, they're just churning out pop stars. It's who can I get that'll end up watching my stream and doing this and doing that. Like, I played fighting games for the camaraderie and for the competitiveness. That's what I play for. And I'm not finding that with a lot of people that I encounter now. It's all about, let me start some beef on fucking Facebook. Yep. Let me stream this and do this and that. Yeah, it just bugs the shit out of me. And so it's hard for me to participate because I feel like the entire spirit of the thing is different. And because of that, it affects how I behave. And I think it affects the way the community behaves. Like I'll never forget I haven't run brackets in a while, but I remember the last time I ran brackets, that final round, people were like, oh, well, I need to wait so I can get on stream so I can make a name for myself. It's like, you're not holding up my fucking tournament, asshole. Get over there and play your fucking game. And I remember people like Marn, like, I'm going to do this thing and I'm just going to glitch out the game and I'll lose, but it'll look totally awesome on stream. And it's like, oh, God. Oh, God. Mm. What the fuck are we doing? And I think it's more bothersome, especially because, frankly, you see all these guys with sponsorships, and we see this with the YouTube stuff as well, with all these YouTube personalities and shit. The fact of the matter is, a lot of these guys aren't very good people. So that's another thing that frustrates me. Like, I go to Final Round, and I see Filipino Champ, and I want to choke him out. Like, I remember him one year saying that he thought that we rigged the fucking brackets against him because he had to fight Ricky in top eight. And he had already fought Ricky earlier in the tournament. Like, bitch, we can't do anything about that. And what made it even more frustrating is that he went out with us that night. Him, Ricky, and a whole bunch of people. We all went out to a bar after the tournament. And if he saw the bracket because we had it with us. And we were working on it at the bar. Like, if he had a problem like that, then he could have said something. But he did it because he's playing into that fucking persona that he has. Like, people are, you know what it is? It's not even the Disney Channel. People are treating it like wrestling. And I'm not eight. So, anyway.
Yeah. So, yeah, people are horrible. This is
something. Wolf Prone's kind of a big offender there, too.
Yeah. He is. And that stuff with K-Brad is interesting. Yeah. But
some of the douchiest shit that's ever happened.
It is. But, like, if you look at, the comment sections, it's so funny to me, to see websites, talk about this shit. Like, we're fucking wild animals. Like, what do we have going on here is what they call the pop-off. And what the pop-off is blood. Like, shut the fuck up. You're not a part of this. You don't understand why this is hype. Like, the problem with that is everybody gets rivalry, right? Like, everybody remembers Jordan versus Bird and Magic Johnson and all of that shit and fucking LeBron versus the world. And, everyone gets that kind of thing. The beautiful thing about competitive gaming anyway is that the only impediment that you have as far as the way that you play is your ability. If you're not disabled, then you are going to be able to perform. And I know people that are disabled that play better than some people that got both fucking hands. So – and we see them show up to Final Round. Like, there's one guy who can't even walk, who's on like a bed and shows up every year and actually whoops people's asses. You have fucking 8-year-olds showing out on people, That's the beauty of that, of the competitive gaming part of it. And so, I'm all for rivalries and everything else like that. But when I see people like, what's that clown that got owned by Viscant?
Which one?
You know what I'm talking about? Low tier something?
Low tier god?
That clown. Yeah. And you see him, he's like, well, I'm fucking so much better than you because I had a girlfriend. Look at my body and shit like that. Yeah, but you're competing in an arena where people are owning you when none of that shit matters. And you're trying to act like it does. And I just see that more and more, and it just pisses me off. Mm. So real quick, I did want to add, speaking of things that piss me off, and I know I missed this, and I'm sure you guys talked about it, but What the fuck is wrong with Nintendo?
We'll talk about that in a bit.
Like, you heard what they're doing tomorrow, right? Like, Best Buy is going to have more NES classics.
Yeah, the last wave of them.
Yeah, and they're already selling for like $300. So I'm hoping, and I would normally never say this, I hope there's a riot at Best Buy. I have never seen a company do something this stupid. Like, oh, there's this ginormous demand for this product. Let's discontinue it.
Yeah, because it makes total sense to somebody.
I don't know what it is. And God, guys, we dealt with this back at Game Addicts. Like, there is something about Nintendo, and it is Nintendo. There is something about Nintendo that when it comes to them, people lose their fucking minds and all semblance of logic because they simply can't believe that Nintendo would do something stupid. Like, I read something the other day that was like, well, you know, businesses make these decisions because it's best for the business. And it's like, okay, so I guess a business has never gone out of business, right? Because, you know, they know how to make all the best decisions. Like, and I remember somebody saying, like, well, this is so Nintendo can make more Switches. That actually might be true as far as their supply chain goes. But the audience that wants an NES Switch or that wants a Switch and then wants an NES Classic do merge, but they're not the same audience.
No.
You know? And, oh, God. I cannot. And, you know, they could put it out for $100.
Yeah, people will still buy it. And then,
add two more games, sell it for $100. People would still buy it. Like, because I remember somebody saying, "Well, it's probably not worth the money for Nintendo." I forgot you're the operations manager and you know about all this shit and supply chain management. Both, like, I'm flabbergasted by people making excuses for Nintendo, especially on this, and the fact that like Best Buy has it in their ad. We will have the last wave of NES classics. They have it in their ad today. I saw it in the paper this morning. And I'm just like, oh my God, somebody's going to get shot. because you know, this is Nintendo we're talking about. Fucking Nintendo is Japanese for undershipped. Like, I don't know if you guys know that. But Nintendo is Japanese for undershipped. And this is the same company that has been doing this shit since the NES days.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And God.
And then they rub salt in the wounds by almost confirming that they're going to do a SNES Classic.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. There's something else I can't buy.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't – I don't know. Like, I don't understand. As good as Nintendo is, I think, for the industry, I am – as far as I'm concerned, when it comes to serving their own customers, they're almost as bad as Sega. And well, it's
Sega in 95. Yeah. They were terrible.
You could still find a Saturn. Right? Like when they pulled that bullshit.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Sorry. I just had to get that out. It's been building up for weeks. And the amount of stupid people that I talk to, it almost gets me to the point of being enraged, like playing a fighting game online. It just. Like, do you guys remember Alex? You remember Alex?
Yeah.
Watchtower? He was the fucking defense force for Nintendo and Sega. Like, every one of these people is an Alex Watchtower, and I can't fathom it. Like, you can call a spade a spade. This is a dumbass fucking move. Like, you have And I would buy – this would be the last thing I say, and I'm sorry to derail the conversation. I could buy if they were discontinuing the NES Classic because they wanted to sell you the games on the Switch. But they aren't fucking there!
Nope. The Virtual Console doesn't exist on the Switch yet.
Nope.
They promise it will be, but it doesn't exist yet. How hard is it to port an emulator to Android?
Oh, my God. And, like, the NES, the Super NES Classic has, like, legitimately got me upset. Because the Super Nintendo is probably my favorite system of all time. Yeah. And that's something I would love to have. And you're talking to a guy who's got a fucking a retro setup. I've got RGB cables. I got a fucking FrameMeister and all that shit, and I would still want something like that. But I know Nintendo will make it so I can't buy it without actually, like, camping out. And I'm 36 years old. I'm not camping out for shit unless I'm going camping.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry about that.
It's all right. It needed to be said.
Because I can't say this to my wife. She's going to be like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
I don't even understand. And what was so bad is she was going to camp out for one of those for me when they were back when Nintendo was actually saying they were producing them. She was going to go to a Toys R Us at like 6 a.m. and she told me about it. I'm like, don't do that, baby. Hmm. Now I almost wish she did because I could fucking probably sell the thing for like, what are they going for, like $400 on eBay now? And it's like, who's even paying for that?
Yeah.
Is it just all inflated? Because like, it reminds me of the Switch. Like, I got a Switch. You guys know that, right? And I ended up being able to pick up a second one because I saw one at the store and I was like, let me just see what kind of bites I could get on this for $400. Nobody bit. So that's the worst part about the whole scalping thing in general. And I was just doing it purely out of curiosity. I don't like scalpers. I've never sold anything like that. But I was like, let me put my money where my mouth is because I see all of these things for this huge, insane amount of money. And if people are selling them for this, then they have people have to be buying them, right?
Yeah.
Well, and the problem with trying to flip a Switch you originally got it is Nintendo actually did get their supply in gear for that one. So yeah, they basically killed the aftermarket for that console, and they've created one for the NES Classic because you can't freaking get them. So yeah.
Now, all that having been said, and I already said my piece on this topic last week, but if push comes to shove, it has to be one Switch coming off of the production line or one NES Classic, produce the Switch.
Agreed.
Yeah, I mean, if that's the decision that they have to make, yes.
Yeah.
But
we're also talking about the Nintendo that historically was like, yeah, guys, we'll get out new Amiibos. By the way, they're discontinued. Yeah. And, I mean, you had people that were fucking... They were on forums and shit going, well, the reason that we don't have Amiibos is because there's a fucking ship somewhere out on the coast of California. That's where all the Amiibos are, and they've been delayed, guys. So Nintendo is great. It's the stupid ship. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Anyways.
As you can see, I don't really have an opinion on this.
No, none whatsoever. All right, so maybe you have a opinion on our next story, which is Bandai Namco introduces a new IP. It's a vampire-themed JRPG called Code Vein, and it looks actually pretty cool.
Yeah, it does. Looks a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Well, I will definitely be looking into this.
The only way I'll have an opinion on this is if they talk about it for years and years and years, and then they don't make it sellable to anyone.
Well, this is Bandai Namco. They're actually pretty good about that kind of thing. So
I mean, look at the way they put out Tails games.
Yeah, like there's like one every month, apparently. Let's see if it certainly feels that way.
It's about one every year.
Yeah. So
yeah, there's a company that knows how to do the anime game thing real hard.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so what else? Yeah, that one looks pretty cool.
And it's out next year.
Next year?
Yep, 2018. Yeah.
All the major consoles.
Mm.
No specifics.
Yay. Yep.
All right.
Usually means all of the things.
Yep. So we got some Nier Automata DLC announced, which will let you play... Well,
I'll explain it.
Yeah,
so
this is just weird.
Yeah, so there's a location in the overworld in the game where... If you go up to it, it's one of the robots who's basically guarding this door to the side of this building, and every time you try to open the door, he'll go up there and he'll be like, we're sorry, he'll get down on his knees, you know, bowing, you know, in the Japanese fashion, and, you know, saying, we're sorry, this place isn't prepared yet, how can I make this up to you? How about if I explode and you can take all of my, you know, my materials and stuff for crafting? Well,
that's what I'd like Nintendo to do with the NES Classic.
Yeah. So what happens is what this DLC does is it finally lets you go through the door. And what you find out is once you go into the door, you go up into these amazing boss fights where you actually get to fight the CEOs of Square Enix and Platinum.
Okay. I have to buy
and
this
the projectiles
game now.
They shoot are their heads.
Yep. Which, considering the fact if you've played Nier Automata and you've already seen the true ending, you'll see this actually makes far more sense than it should.
And I like the way they sort of warn you up front. It's like, all right, if you insist, but I have to warn you. What you're about to see may end up destroying your sense of immersion. Are you okay with that? Your options are immersion Schmimmersion, or I most certainly am not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is just one of those weird additions that, okay, just make the game more awesome than it already was.
It's Yoko Taro, dude. Yeah. Yeah. This is kind of in his wheelhouse.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, so you'll have to report back and tell us how this is.
Yep.
Because I'm pretty sure you're probably going to pick this one up.
More than likely.
Yeah, so. All right, what else we got? Oh, yeah. Atlas discovered a domain registration service, and they've been registering all of the things lately.
Yes.
Including the now infamous fan site.
Yep.
For Persona 5. So yeah, in Persona 5, you know, obviously you and all your other friends are the Phantom Thieves, where you're basically, you know, going into people's palaces, stealing their treasure to change their hearts, blah, 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 blah. And one of the things you do in the game is there's this dude named Nishima, who's one of your classmates, creates a website, which is literally called the Fan Site, and I mean P-H-A-N site. And they get requests and comments and stuff. You can actually go on that site now.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's fansite.net. So it's P-H-A-N-S-I-T-E.net.
Hmm. You can go on it now. That I should be aware of?
Huh?
No? No.
What?
Okay. Any spoilers that I should be aware of if I go there?
Maybe.
Hmm. Okay, so I'll play the game first, and then I'll go there.
Yeah.
I want to buy Persona, but God, I don't know when I'll have the time.
Well, I will tell you, it's kind of a time.
It's a Persona game.
Yep, it will probably.
Exactly, I'm like, shit.
I mean, I've been playing it for like 3 hours every night since the game came out, and I'm only barely halfway done with it.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Cool stuff for Persona fans. Xseed is doing something really weird. They're doing, well, they're retconning some terminology in all three of the PC games of the Trails in the Sky series.
Yep.
I'm glad you guys brought this up, because I was, did you guys read the thing that Kotaku had I think it was like last year, about, the teams that were responsible for the Trails translations and shit like that. And like, apparently, like, there's no – Falcom didn't have a series Bible, so there were some inconsistencies across the names. Is this why they're making those changes?
Probably.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they – there...
The biggest change is that the character that you've known for probably a few years now is Zane – is now Zin.
Hmm. See, that kind of shit is stupid. It's just like Aerith. No, yeah. She's Aeris. Okay.
Well, see, this actually makes sense considering that you're talking about Zane Valdek, right? The Valdek, big dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, his whole civilization is basically Asian inspired. So the idea that his name is actually Zin makes sense.
Hmm. Yeah. It's just kind of weird that the company would go back and like do this kind of thing. It usually it shows well
how much they love the source material for one thing.
Well, I think it's that, but I also think what they're trying to do is set this up to where that this is something that has a permanent place for a long time. Like if they're going to take the kind of and it don't mistake it. It takes some man hours to make these kinds of changes. Yeah. If they're doing that and there's not any sort of like profit benefit. You definitely can see it being for the love, but also because of the fact that they plan for this stuff to have long legs.
Yes.
And they don't want inconsistencies amongst the games to screw that up. I mean, hell, some of this ties into one of our stories later, like with Everybody's Golf. Like, people know it as Hot Shots. I think I'm renaming it as stupid. Yeah. It's just saying, you know, Final Fantasy went through it. Dragon Quest went through it, you know, where it was Dragon Warrior all the way here through 7. Like, but this is something that's a little more.
They're terraforming for a lot of things to come.
Exactly. Yeah. This is indicative of the fact that there's obviously going to be some long legs for the series in general. Because if it was just a one-off that they were never really going to do anything else for again, they wouldn't give a shit.
Yeah. This, they're going back and changing games that are already out. So, you know, it's I don't think that's actually ever happened before. Release of a game and then actually changing, you know, substantial things in the lore.
And if you go back and look at the notes, they are exhaustive.
Yeah.
Everything is explained, justified. Yeah.
It's good on Xseed. They're taking their stewardship of the Trail series very seriously, and we can applaud them for that, because we are big fans of this series.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Stuff. In other news, Super Bomberman R, probably one of Pat's favorite Switch games.
I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, he's enjoying it quite a bit. Getting some new characters via an update. Mainly Pyramid Head and the Vic Viper from Gradius.
Also Simon Belmont.
Yeah. Why not?
Belmont Bomber, as they're calling him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
This kind of gives the impression that they care, which doesn't make any sense at all.
It doesn't compute with Konami, does it?
No, this is like Konami, and it's like...
Yeah, this is the team that's making it actually caring more than maybe the publisher does.
Basically.
Yeah. Because everybody knows Konami is Japanese for don't give a fuck.
Well, the way I've been saying is that apparently whatever debt they owe to the Yakuza had finally been paid in full. So
maybe.
I guess, you know, little Michiko doesn't have to work in the soap lands anymore. So.
Ooh. Yeah, seems like this update also improves the frame rates, adds new maps.
I've noticed that it runs much better.
So, hey. Yeah, we need good Switch games, and this is one of them. So,
it's always good when developers don't abandon their games.
If you have a Switch and you love multiplayer gaming, and you don't want to be limited to just Mario Kart and Splatoon, absolutely get this game, because Bomberman is just one of those multiplayer staples that should always be a part of the gaming landscape, and it's good to see it here on the Switch.
Yeah. Yeah, Bomberman is one of those great bar games, I would find. You know,
yeah.
If you'd actually take your Switch to a bar, you could get a lot of enjoyment out of it.
Or better yet, just get a, you know, make a Bomberman arcade cabinet and put it on inside the bar. Yeah. And by that, I mean like on inside the actual counter.
Yeah. Get a Sega Saturn with a 10-player setup.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. That'd be a good time.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, I got Bomberman as well. I'm enjoying it. But, man, I wish Nintendo would put out some co-op shit, because my family tends to fight.
Mm.
So, like, Mario Kart coming out's a real problem now.
So did you notice the Bomberman in campaign mode, story mode, is co-op?
No, I did not.
Mm. Yeah, it's got two players.
I'm doing this evening. Mm. I gotta school my child.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, the story mode is two-player.
Nice. All right, so...
You guys can't see it, but I'm literally rubbing my fingers together going,
So we got, a story that does affect Nintendo. Is affected by Nintendo in this case. We've got the N++ Ultimate Edition update, which is doubling the game's content and basically bringing the game up to 4,300 levels, which is way more than anybody would ever need.
Yeah. That's it's a game I played a lot, and I'm still nowhere close to even beating the original levels.
Yeah. Okay, so, yeah, this is coming out, but not on the Switch.
Yeah, Nintendo, quote, doesn't think it'll move systems.
Yeah. Nintendo is going to... Why would you tell a developer that?
And Destructoid made the perfect argument against that statement. Then why does 1-2 Switch exist?
Yeah.
Right?
Because that game certainly doesn't sell systems.
It doesn't even really sell itself.
No.
You know what sells systems? You get a ton of cool games on the system.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't...
Not just like... Because that's a sort of a stupid thing we've had for the last few console launches. Like, oh, which of these games is the system seller?
Yeah.
Why not have a bunch of games and then people buy because they got too much to play on it?
Yeah.
That's what we're doing now with PS4 and Steam and all that. It's like we have too many games that we're never going to play. Yeah. We still keep buying them because they're cool games that we ideally think we might have time at some point.
Theoretically.
Theoretically. Yeah, theoretically.
I don't have enough time to finish this stupid platformer. But yeah, they add, let's see, they add a new hardcore mode. That's one of the cool things they added to it, which it's hardcore just to finish the damn game.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's all free updates. Everybody has N++ already. We'll be getting the updates out on Steam now. PS4 is coming soon. And it's just sort of a crazy, crazy cool thing they've been doing to just keep supporting this game.
Yeah. But not on Nintendo, because they're dumb and they don't want it. So,
yeah.
I think the thing that's most fascinating about this entire thing is that Nintendo has been a company that over the last 5 years has been flirting with failure like they haven't been laid in 20 years. And now they finally have a system that, that has captured the imagination of the public so much so that they can't keep it on store shelves, and they want to tell people, no, we don't think this is – nah, we don't really need you. Like, are you fucking crazy?
Yeah. Well, they're kind of treating it like they got the XBLA problem where they want,
right,
you know, to sift out the unworthy devs, but there's totally a ton of cool quality developers that aren't able to get their stuff on Switch.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is retarded.
That's what the main indie business proposition is. Let's get our stuff on every platform.
Yeah.
Right.
And we got this hot new Nintendo platform that a lot of them have affinity for. Yeah. Big reason why a lot of them are just making games in general. And they're saying, no, because we had these stupid shitty games on 3DS and Wii U eShops that now we're just blocking everybody else out because we had some standard of this has to be a huge game.
Which is just – and the same thing. Like this is not – they're not in the position to make those demands. This isn't 1989.
No. Nice. This isn't 1989, and, you know, I should point out that Shovel Knight is on the freaking Switch.
Right.
You know, that's an indie darling right there. I would put that up there with N++. I mean,
and
it's
they should
a,
be,
it's got just a, as big a following, I would find.
Yeah, they should be doing everything they can to evangelize the system to developers.
Yeah, not
like, hey,
try to turn
why aren't you talking to Psyonix saying, hey, get this hot-ass game, Rocket League, on your system?
Yeah.
I think really what it points to is that they don't understand the industry that they're competing in, which is something that we've talked about Nintendo having a problem with since fucking forever.
Yeah.
Because the fact is that with the way the Switch is powered, they're not going to be getting the Call of Duties or anything else like that that are on there. And what they really need to do is have something that differentiates their platform. And if they can turn the Switch into the Vita 2, but with Nintendo support, that will sell itself.
Yeah.
And they seem averse to that idea, which is fucking mind-boggling.
Yeah.
Weird thing is, I've heard from developers saying that Nintendo's sort of application stuff to get on there, become an official developer, is their favorites among all the consoles.
Yeah, like it's relatively lax. So they seem to be holding out a hand to indie developers, but then they have this, like, holier than thou attitude about it. Like,
yeah, try not to flood the eShop that is currently unable to hold all the games.
Yeah.
Because you can't even just look at a list of all the games.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, there's all these Neo Geo games that are flooding over it, and it's not like they're bad games. They just should be able to handle expansion to say, hey, here's all these cool games.
Yeah.
And then here's all the rest of them, and here's just an easy way to find everything, and it's not. It's like, hey, we just added bestsellers list. Great, you're telling me what other people like.
Yeah. Let me find the stuff that I'm actually looking for.
Yeah.
You know, search algorithms aren't particularly hard. Neither is pagination. Neither of these are things that Nintendo has managed to put on the eShop. So, yeah. Don't know who their web programmer is, but they need to be fired. So that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways. All right, moving on. We got we talked about this a bit. Hotshots Golf is being renamed to Everybody's Golf over here in North America. Game's coming out August 29th on PS4 for $40.
Yeah,
we have no doubt it's going to be a good game.
Yep.
It's a consistently good series. I've never played a version of it I didn't like.
This looks like a
I wish we could just get another Mario Golf, like on the Switch. That's what I want. I like the hot shot
stuff. They have to
make
a good one first. They haven't made one of those in a long time.
Since the GameCube, the one on 3DS wasn't bad, but the one on GameCube, if I could get one of those in HD, oh my god.
Hmm. Yeah, the problem with the portable Mario Golfs is they pale in comparison to the Game Boy Color game. It's just fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, this essentially puts the name in line with what it's been in everywhere else in the world for the last 25 years.
Yeah, it's been Everybody's Golf in Europe, or Japan, everywhere.
Mina no Golf.
Yeah.
It's literally the same thing.
Yeah.
Yep. And I don't think the Hotshots name is necessarily that big that this thing can just easily take on the original name without too much. It's not like, oh, I've been calling this Dragon Warrior for the last 10 years.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the last
Hot even then, that's not was a while back. That's not that big of a jump though. Dragon Quest, Dragon Warrior, still a dragon in there.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, but then after that, Square Enix says, "We don't know if we want to bring these over to the West anymore."
Yeah. Actually,
by the way, at this point, I think it's complete posturing now.
Hmm. For those
if
who
they
don't know,
if they don't bring 11 over here, they're fucking insane.
Yeah. By the way, for those who are curious, the reason they had to change the name when they brought it over here was because there was a obscure pen and paper RPG that had that name patented.
Yeah.
So
had the trademark. So
how Resident Evil was Biohazard originally, they changed it because of a band name or something like that?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, this band name owns the word Biohazard.
Yeah, well, you can trademark that.
So. Yeah. It's just weird. It's like a general term for bad shit.
Hell, even the biohazard symbol is like universalist. You don't want to be near that shit.
Nope. Nope.
Well, they fixed that with RE7 by just naming it Resident Evil 7 Biohazard and Biohazard 7.
I actually thought
Resident
that was kind of clever the way they had it. I was like, you know what? I'm not even mad at y'all.
You ever look at the logo where they put the 7 in the, actual name?
Yeah.
I thought that was the greatest logo design I've seen in a while.
It was clever.
Yeah. All right, so Everybody's Golf. Yeah, we're fans, so we'll probably play this one when it comes out.
Especially at $40, the price is definitely right.
Yeah, it's for a PS4 game. Can't really complain too much. So May 26th is the day that Friday the 13th launches on PS4, Xbox One, and PC. Will not launch with single player, unfortunately. That's apparently coming later.
Yeah, it seems like they're afraid of another game that was just announced coming to consoles.
Dead
by Daylight.
It's kind of the same concept.
Same concept, except they've got Jason Voorhees, and I think there's enough still name cachet behind that to to put it over the top.
I think that's an equalizer of sorts.
Yeah.
I want to say that Dead by Daylight also got some license thing to it. I have to look it up. I don't know, but I'm sure it's got a Jason lookalike in there, but I want to say they had some official thing. Oh yeah. Michael.
Mike Myers, yeah.
Yeah, Mike Myers.
Yeah. From,
The Shape is what they call him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. It's going to be, it'll probably be good. From what I've seen of it, it looks like, a perfectly serviceable multiplayer game, but.
It's just kind of weird that they're so obsessed about getting it out first, they have to release it unfinished.
Yeah.
They're not trying to have what happened to them that happened to, what was it? Was it Battleborn? That Overwatch came out and just fucking raffle stomped like it was the fucking Dreamcast versus the PlayStation 2?
Oh, yeah.
Except, people are like, we don't even want to play that game because fuck that game. What?
Overwatch is coming in a week. Who cares?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And the thing is, they hyped the crap out of that game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this is Gearbox and Randy Pitchford. That was Gearbox, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, Randy.
Yeah, Randy. Jeez. Maybe the at least it's is it me or is like Gearbox just becoming the Borderlands company at this point?
That's what they always were.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, after Aliens Colonial Marines, that's all they really could be.
Yeah.
Because I mean, that you know, Gearbox has always had sort of up and down when it comes to franchises.
Yeah.
They've made some great franchises and they've made some stinkers, but. Yeah. They put out Aliens Colonial Marines, which is...
Yeah, which they flat-out lied about.
Yeah, they not only was it flat-out lied about, it was also... You know, it was... You know, delayed...
Yeah.
And then all to hell, and then it came out completely 100% broken. Mm-hmm. And...
So, yeah, they still haven't lived that down.
Oh, they haven't.
Yeah.
I think the safest thing for them to be is the Borderlands company at this point.
Yeah,
because Borderlands is still great.
Borderlands is still great, and they just dropped the full clip edition of the Bulletstorm, which is awesome.
Well, yeah, Bulletstorm is actually a pretty underrated game, I think.
Yeah, yeah. So you know they can do some good stuff, but you know. Anyway, what else we got? Hey, Twitch launching an affiliate program for the non-partner people, and that's basically people that they don't, you know, they don't approve. They don't give their blessings to, as it were.
Yeah, like, that's where all the big streamers are at.
Yeah.
Affiliates for everybody else.
Yeah, so now, yeah.
Yeah, I think
everybody
else
can start making some money.
The recs they have for that is at least 500 total minutes broadcast in the last 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
7 unique broadcast days in the last 30 days. An average of 3 concurrent viewers or more over the last 30 days.
Mm.
And at least 50 followers.
Mm. That's not... Those aren't particularly stringent requirements.
Nope.
Yeah. So,
they also got a big chart here of like the different bonuses and such.
Yeah.
And you get kind of most of what the partner gets, but things like... transcoding, you don't get first dibs.
Hmm.
Partner gets first dibs, and then you get first dibs for the rest of the people.
Hmm.
VOD storage is only 14 days like everybody else.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Still, at least it's something.
Yeah. You get chargeback protection.
Yeah, which is good.
Not like everybody else that gets nothing.
Yeah. Good on Twitch for you know, at least... trying to even things out a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, becoming a Twitch partner, not exactly easy.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
This gets it closer to what YouTube's been doing for a long time.
Yeah.
Where pretty much as long as you have a decent amount of channel hits, you're good to go.
Yeah. So, all right.
I guess we'll it's definitely not a bad move. I mean, streaming will, I mean, it's built into every fucking console at this point.
It's good. Next up, we got Legend of Zelda: Breath of the Wild. The first 100% speed run took over 49 hours. I wouldn't really qualify that as a speed run at this point.
There's just so much on that game.
Speed.
Yeah. So 49 hours if you're really, really cramming it to get. 100%.
Yeah, I'm curious to see if there's any potential for glitches to shave off a lot of that time.
Yeah.
Because otherwise it's just an efficiency of using your time to cover everything as you make this weird grand sweep.
Yeah. It's probably more of what it is because
there's
not a whole lot of shortcuts to be taken in that game.
Yeah, it covers getting all 900 Korok seeds, every shrine, and filling out the photo book, compendium of beasts and weapons and such.
Jeez. Yeah, somebody really, really wanted that.
I wonder
how many times he actually had to try it to do it.
I don't know.
That'd be a lot of memorization.
I don't even like that game.
The guy that did it. And his quote is, "I had a good start on the first 24 hours. When I hit 30 hours, it was hard for me. I felt like the run wasn't going to end, so I decided to take a nap break."
It's so, like this isn't him.
Straight. Yeah, it's, I don't think it's him trying to do it all in one run. Because I think for this sort of stuff, they end up using like an outside time tracker.
Yeah.
Because the game will just keep running.
Yeah.
At any time, even if you try to pause it for like, I don't know, sleeping so you can stay alive.
Yeah.
While doing this stuff.
Yeah, staying alive would be a good, you know, would be a requirement to completing a speed run.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we've seen streamers stay up for a few days and die during stream.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That, yep. That is a thing.
Mm. Unfortunately, as it is, it has happened.
Yeah, I think it says he's trying to, he would like to do it again, try to get it under 40 hours.
So he thinks he can actually shave 9 hours off of that.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's keep on.
Yeah, avoiding all those accidental deaths and all that probably be. Pretty good way to start cutting down some time.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. Okay, then.
Next You're definitely not going to see it on Summer Games Done Quick or anytime soon.
Nope. I'll be like the whole stream.
Okay, here's half the week is Zelda. Yeah. Just this one guy trying.
Yeah. Okay. So in 2022, at the Asian Olympic Games... esports is now going to be a medal event.
And it begins.
Yeah. Let the people that say, esports is not a real sport, come out of the woodwork.
Yeah, I think they're doing it as the as a demonstration event at the 2018 Asian Games. So get started on that. But that one will be in Hangzhou, China, 2020.
Of course it will be.
I think what they're going to do initially is FIFA 2017 is the only game confirmed.
Yeah.
At the upcoming Asian Indoor and Martial Arts Games. But they're also going to have one MOBA and a real-time strategy game, which is probably going to be StarCraft 2.
Actually, it might end up being StarCraft 1.
Maybe. I don't know. Yeah. That's what they're suggesting.
That could be
here. Interesting.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of the Korean esports shows and such are actually going back to StarCraft 1.
Yeah.
Yes, which is weird, but all right. And the MOBA will probably end up being League of Legends, because of course it will be.
And Tencent owns it, so they can sponsor it that way.
Yep. So, hey, it's cool. I'm glad it's starting. Maybe, you know, Street Fighter will eventually be an Olympic event, so... That could be kind of fun.
Yeah, as mentioned here, skateboarding and sports climbing are being added to the 2020 Olympics.
Hmm. The times, they are changing, you know?
Yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah. All right, we'll end with our fun story about G2A. They had a question and answer in the UK, rather. And it didn't go
well. Well, that was in Croatia.
It says UK here, so anyways. But yeah, they got heckled mercilessly.
Shocking.
Yeah, specifically, they were talking to developers, and initially they were taking shots at Gearbox, basically complaining that they ended their relationship because of a YouTuber. Not because of all the shady stuff they found out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see, that YouTuber brought up the things that they were doing, like, you know, charging people for fraud protection on keys that may or may not actually work. G2A being more than happy to accept games that were purchased with stolen credit cards.
Yep.
Being used as a laundering service.
Yeah. I got some nice tweets here from Rami Ismail and Mike Bithell. of Lambeer, who is summarizing things. G2A basically saying that if we don't want gray market resale, developers and publishers should just region lock every key ever. G2A doesn't see itself as a gray market. He took a screenshot of the wiki page for gray market, which says a gray market is the trade of a commodity through distribution channels that are legal but unintended by the original manufacturer.
Yeah, that's a gray market, all right.
Yeah. Mike Bithell chimes in here. Oh my, the room is very much not with this guy. I don't know if Mike is picking up the heckles and giggles, but it's a fun room. Rami of Smell comes in. G2A, developers can get up to 10% of gray sales on G2A, which is a very attractive offer. 23 devs in a room? No, it's not. G2A just suggested we need to stop being so harsh on them, selling illegitimate keys, illegitimately acquired keys, because 40% of their 750 employees are women.
That seems like
I guess they were asked about why it takes the company so long to change the way it works. And they said, well, we got 40% women on our workforce, which doesn't say anything.
What I love here is how they say, you know, those who want to stop it act against free market and property rights that are essential to the modern economy. You know that these guys don't have a leg to stand on when they have to rely on bullshit talking points like that.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. It's not that I'm against being able to sell spare keys that I might have, because I'm not. What I'm against is a company that wants to be treated as a legitimate business and doesn't want to have the responsibilities that a legitimate business has to have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like they want to put the tools to be able to do it, but then don't want to require it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they talk about the standout moment. It was a question from Mike Bithell that crystallized the general feeling that G2A simply does not have the interests of developers at heart. So here's his quote. You charge the customers who want to avoid fraudulent stuff with the Shield system. You ask us to contribute our time and energy to detect fraud on your system in exchange for 10%. I'm interested in what the 750 people, 40% of whom are women, are doing to earn the 90% of the transaction. His response, there are people working in marketing. And he asks, is it mainly marketing? No, IT and security. Good job.
Mic drop.
Yeah.
And then they got a response from G2A's head of PR, basically tries to refute everything they said.
Yeah.
It's like their quick spin on everything.
Yeah.
Which is about as what you expect. So imagine that someone purchased an LG TV and then wanted to resell it on eBay. eBay does not offer LG or any other company any percentage of the sale. We are the only marketplace in the world that offers this to developers.
See, here's because, I mean, really, we have to remember that a good, really, the big problem here is a good chunk of G2A's, you know, profit is from fraudulent keys.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, we know this for a fact. And they know
they
that for
know
a fact.
It for a fact.
Which is why they are actively trying to deflect.
Yeah. It's like,
because something tells me if they did actually act against, you know, the fraudulent keys,
they wouldn't have
take you out of business.
No. Yeah, and the thing is, they're basically charging developers to put the Shield system, which is, if you think about it, is basically extortion.
No, it's not just they're charging developers, they're charging people to have it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, it's extortion, basically. Yeah.
So, you know, and it's like when Gearbox, they had that deal with G2A that went sour as soon as they figured, okay, Gearbox should have done some due diligence on their part first, but we'll set that aside for now. When they did find out what was going on with that particular company, they suggested a bunch of what I found was very reasonable mitigation methods, none of which G2A wanted to implement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder why.
God, it's like the G2A is like the phishing scam of key sellers. I mean, they're basically like, they're the equivalent of those dudes in the Indian call centers who call you like in 4 in the afternoon telling you about updating your medical insurance, that type of shit.
Yeah. It's like, I would love there to be a really legitimate marketplace where you could do this. It's just not going to be G2A. This company is really, is very clear that they just don't care. They want to make their money and they don't really care about anyone else.
Nope. Because of the free market, dude. Property rights.
Free market, property rights. But yeah. So that went about as well as you could possibly expect, which is not well at all.
Nope.
Yeah. Anyway.
They basically, they came away looking worse than they already did.
Yeah. And that's saying something. So, anyway.
I think the problem here, and this may be unpopular, but the fact of the matter is that as we're moving over to everything being all digital and all this other shit, is that there has to be something has to be done to allow people to resell keys that they own, and it needs
there
to
has
be
to be an aftermarket.
There has to be an aftermarket. No. I know people aren't disputing it, but that's sort of the problem here. Is that I think one of the reasons you're not seeing a lot of developers jump into this is because I think they don't want, and publishers, I don't think they really want there to be an aftermarket. I mean, the all digital future for a lot of these guys is a fucking unicorn that had its horn ripped off because Steam will offer refunds, and now you have Microsoft doing the same thing. Like, this is no longer a guaranteed sale that will stay a sale afterwards. So, and then you have stuff like Humble Bundle and everything else like that. Like, if you're doing like the Humble Monthly to end up selling the keys later, you're sort of betraying the idea in the first place. But it's your business if you want to do that.
Yeah.
And so there needs to be some sort of legitimized marketplace where people can sell their keys, because this is not going to go away. And I think that's the biggest thing that everybody should take from this, is that there is – this is a Nintendo-style problem. There is a need that has to be filled here, and everybody is just running around acting like there isn't one.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think eventually we'll have to see Steam be able to let you sell your games on the Steam Marketplace, Xbox Live and PSN and eShop. On my Xbox, just turned on. It'll have to let you be able to kind of trade in stuff that's older than what their refund option allows, even if it's like 20-30% of what you paid for.
Because,
you know, when you get to like 2 or 3 years down the line, that's pretty good for a game that has very, very little value most of the time.
Right.
I think it'll be end up being that sort of avenue that we have to go, instead of just, well, here's the code.
I'm sure it'll be held against somehow what the person paid for it rather than what it was actually going for most of the time.
Yeah.
Just because of the nature of Steam sales.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, imagine if you let people start selling some of the Steam games they never played. Be able to transfer that license that way. It's like you automatically start giving these people a lot more credit that they can then spend on more games.
Yeah.
And that's huge.
It feeds back.
Not just that, you're giving them agency in a way. Like this is you saying, okay, you know, you've made this decision, you bought this game or whatever the fuck the case may be, and now you can do whatever you want with it in a legal means. Like, that's a big deal.
Yeah. So, especially with the way that, like, trading card sales go, where people often just put it for dirt cheap just to get rid of it for whatever little cents they can get.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be interesting to see how that stuff happens with when it's an actual game with actual value.
Yeah.
Have you guys read through some of the comments on this article here?
I can only imagine.
Yeah, there's actually some people, defending G2A, saying, well, it's not illegal.
Well, like, no, nobody's – it's not questioning that. It's very – it's shady. That's what it
there's
is.
There's ethics and – there are ethical and moral questions
yes.
that need to be made here. But some of these people are like, well, if the – you know, if I as a business had that situation where a service selling my product was that easy to defraud, well, I would blame the service.
Forest for the trees, gentlemen.
Yeah.
Okay. I do like this picture of Mike Bithell's head photoshopped onto Hulk Hogan dropping a leg drop on somebody. To call it Bithellmania is running wild.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So I guess with that, we'll wrap up the show for the week. All right. So, as usual, if you're not yet subscribed to the show, you can do so on iTunes, TuneIn, Google Play, your favorite RSS reader, or pretty much everywhere.
You can check us out at smashpad.com or facebook.com/smashpadsocial or facebook.com/dayzerounddate, or we're on Twitter too. You can probably find us. And your dog is very enthusiastic. Yep.
All three of them have Twitter accounts. They know what it is.
So with that, I'm Philippe Bonanalfo.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
I'm Brandon Perkins.
I'm Chris Sologi.
And I'm Lee Lamb and Three Dogs.
And we'll see you next week.